Good evening, class. Well, this is our first class for the year, and I'm looking forward to being a servant to you, teaching you this class. Well, my class is Understanding Spiritual Authority. We teach out a book by Brother Washman Nee, Understanding Authority. Well, class, I want to give you a little rundown on the way I construct or instruct my classes. As I teach, if you take decent notes, you're going to make decent grades or good grades. Straight A's if you pay close attention. But also I want you to know that I really teach my test. If you take the time and listen to the statement being made, I don't go off the script. So it's easy to follow. If I hadn't said it, I can't test it. If I didn't teach it, I don't give trick questions in my test, the true and false, or either true or they're either false. No in between, so you don't have to try to figure it out. But you have to know the lesson, though. Yeah, I'm not saying you don't have to know the lesson. And sometimes I do multiple choice, and sometimes I do fill in the blanks. So whatever way we decide to do the testing, the answers are going to be pretty much in your notes. So if you take halfway good, decent notes, you're going to do good in this class here. And I'm going to try to cover as much material as I can. I don't quite always go right through the book word for word. I try to hit some of the most high points of the book because we only got so many weeks to teach, and we got a lot of chapters in this book. So I advise you to do some self-reading, even when we're not even teaching a subject in the book. Go ahead and read it anyway, because you get a full understanding of what Brother Washman Nee is talking about in his book. Some things he say may seem quite hard to understand, but if you stick with me in this class, we're going to find out that we're going to do well, and we're going to try to accomplish much as we can. So without further ado, I'd like you to turn your Bible with me to Romans 13. We're going to deal with this first chapter in the book called The Importance of Authority. And under this main topic is the authority of God. That's Romans 13, 1 through 7. Now, I got my Bible. He used another translation, but I'm old school. I like King James Version. Sometimes I use other translations to get a better understanding of what being taught. But this first verse says in Romans 13, and what we're doing now, we're talking about the authority of God. And matter of fact, let me give you these definitions before I go any further, because these definitions are going to kind of help us understand where we're headed here. Number one, this is the definition of authority. And I'm going to try to take my time and go a little slow, because if you're writing and taking notes, then you're going to be able to keep up when I ask what is authority according to the question, according to the definition I gave on this 12th day of September. Authority, number one, is the power to influence or command thought. Authority always command thought. What do you mean command thought? Command thought means put the thoughts of God. We talk about spiritual authority, mind you now. You put the thoughts of God in your heart, in your mind, in your soul. So authority command thoughts. It has an influence of your thoughts. And God wants to influence you to know who he is in your thought line. So in your thoughts, in your opinion, and in your behavior. Authority, it should be understood in your everyday behavior. Washman Nee made a statement some time ago or somewhere down the line in the book, whether I covered it or not. I'm making this statement. He said, authority is everywhere. He said, once you realize it's everywhere, your first point to ask is, who is in authority that I may obey? Now, it might sound like a simple statement now, but the point is that you must respect all authority. There are three areas of influence we're going to talk about. Authority in the world, authority in the home, and authority in the church. There are three spheres or three spheres. Can you give me a little bit of air, brother? There are three spheres of authority. What I said it was, authority in the world system. There's authority in the home, the government authority in the home, the father being the head of the home as God appointed him, and the authority in the church. The church has a definite authority given by God, and they all need to be recognized as we go. And so it must have the influence in your thought life, in your opinions, and in your behavior when it comes to authority. Now, it's also the power or right to direct or control someone or something. That's authority. See, people don't like that word, control, because if in the secular system, it can be misused or it could be abused, and even in the church world, it can be abused. Even in the home world, anything in the world can be abused. Control has one definition in the world system, but it has another control in the spiritual realm. See, God, we use the statement, God is always in control. Yes, he's in control, but you might say, well, as long as he don't control me. You see, God wants to control you, but not as a slave would be controlled by a slave. God don't want to control you with the slavery of your mind, to think slavery, to think I'm under oppression and keep you depressed. No, this control is to God, just like you control an automobile. If you don't control an automobile down the road, it's going to go where it wants to go. But you have to take the helm of that car, the helm of that boat, that ship, that helm in the rain of that situation, and you bring it under control. Well, that was authority. Authority gives us the end results of what God determined in his mind. I'm going to say it again. Authority gives us the end results of what God has already established in his mind for you. To get you to a certain point, from point A to point B, you don't know how to get there by yourself. So God has to direct us, lead us. I'm going to use that word again. Even control us. And sometimes the control filters down to his spiritual authority, to his apostles, his prophets, his pastors, his leaders in the church. And God filters this control down. But when we think about worldly control, we think somebody just dominating you and running your life. God do not want to run your life. God wants to be in control of your life, if you let him, but only spiritual control. And if you keep that in mind, then you won't be fearful of that word control. You'll know that God is trying to get us somewhere without abuse. God always functions through the spirit of L-O-V-E, and that the spirit of love. So if love is not involved, then it's not God. God is love. Everything he does is love. And all of his outcome want to be love. All right. Now, with that thought, our definitions in mind, we're going to go on and read this 13th chapter of Romans. Now, I'm going to take my time. I'm going to slow down a little bit because I don't want to get excited too fast, too early, because it's so much information. I get a little excited because there's so much truth. I get a little excited because the church has been robbed for years of not understanding the subject of authority. And the church has been misled, misguided by those that have no knowledge of God's authority and try to establish their own authority without God. And see, and that leads to confusion and destruction. But authority in the right man's hand that God sent is a powerful and a beautiful thing, but authority in the wrong man's hand is destruction, and as a matter of fact, it's self-destruction. So, let's read this first verse of this 13th chapter of Romans. Are you with me, so far, class? I'm trying to lead you through this. I want to go through what we call baby steps. Not that you're a child, not that you're a baby in faith, not that you're a baby understanding, but I'm trying to work this authority up to a place where we can understand it, because it's a very serious subject, and it has to be in the right hand. If it's in the wrong hand, then you can either build a church with it or destroy a church. And that's why this lesson has to be spiritually understand and stood, and you have to be matured enough to be able to flow in it with the God understanding. This lesson in the wrong hands is dangerous. Just like you put the a gun in the hand of someone that's irresponsible or a child that's unable to understand the seriousness and the danger of it. Let's go to Romans 13 and 1. Well, I'm trying to establish a foundation before I get started here because there's so many people have been led astray by misunderstanding of authority. They don't know the check and balances of it. And it destroyed many people. We talk about the Jim Jones instance and other instances that happened in time past of the church being ignorant and of God's leadership and God's authority and never learned the principle and of being discerning spiritual things. And one of the reasons they've never been under apostolic. And without being under apostolic, you don't have the basis for understanding a lot of spiritual things. Apostolic put all things in spiritual alignment where you can flow and follow and understand. Thank God for our Apostle Thompson. First of all, I want to honor him before I start my class because he started this class, this school years ago with the intention of putting himself in the other people and giving them insight of the government of God. Now, I'm going to try for the fourth time to start reading this 13th chapter, the first verse of Romans. But like I get pulled off every time I try to start. And maybe if I just stop and start reading, we'll get somewhere, class. Amen. But I want to be definite. I want to be accurate with you. I want you to understand that everything you hear in this school coming out of the apostolic and it will be important for the building up of your ministry or the building up of your personal life. But you got to pay attention, class. Now, it says, let every soul, chapter 13, verse 1 of the book of Romans. It says, Reverend Ghost, I want you to go ahead and read. I will. Let every soul be subject unto the higher power. Well, this power here, another better translation for this word power, it would be authority. If you take the Greek understanding of it, this word is better translated as authority. So let every soul be subject unto what? The higher authority. For there is no authority, let's use this word authority here, for there is no authority but of God. So all authority is established by God himself. There's nothing greater than God. There's no one over God to direct him. God is the authority. Everything begins and ends with God. And I know you know it, but I'm just reaffirming these things. The powers that be, the authorities that be, are ordained of God. Now we're about to get to another level of authority now. The first level we're about to learn is if you're going to talk about the world system government of authority right here. We're not going to cover it all right here, but this is going to be the introduction of it. It says, whosoever therefore resisted the power or authority, resisted the ordinance of God. Now, well, we're talking about the church was under Roman rule back during Apostle Paul's time. Roman government governed, the Christians was under Roman rule. Even though they were born again Christian, blood-bought church, they was under government, not of a spiritual leader, like as of a king, but it was on a secular world system of government, the Roman government. And they were a pretty strict government. And they all were for all business. And the church had to even learn how to submit. And God was trying to tell them through the Apostle Paul that even though they may seem like they're doing harm, but you're trying to put this government understanding in these people in order. What did I say? He's trying to put the government understanding of the people in a divine order, let them know that this government should not be resisted, but it should be complied with because it's all under the authority of God. Now, because people have to be governed, whether saved or unsaved, or if there were no government, there'd be a word called chaos. No rule. No rule, and then leads to self-destruction. A man will get away with whatever he can get away with, but if there's a rule or a law to help government govern him, then he can find a place of civilization. Well, God had to give the law to Moses because the people began to sin, and God had to be able to judge sin, but you couldn't judge this sin until you establish a law. For where there's no law, sin do not exist. Now, I'm not going to get all the way into that, but I'm showing you how it all started out with God. And the law always was for the governed people. Tell a man when he was right. Tell a man when he was wrong. And so without government, without law, there would be total disorder, and man would destroy himself before the time. Now, I'm going to start reading again. We're not going to get too far, class. I can see it now, but this is this first class. I'm gonna call it the introductory class because I'm trying to set a firm foundation to build this class upon, so we'll know that this authority does not come from man; it comes from God. But yet, man has to be trusted with the authority to help establish it for God. Hope I'm making sense. Now, so whosoever therefore resisted. Now, I passed that word up when I first read it. Resisted or resist is a word of rebellion. There are many words you can use. I call it anti-submission. Why? Because when you resist something, you refuse to obey a direct order. So, The church leaders and the church, they thought that they only had to obey God leadership. But Paul said, no. All this government that is established, all of it stems from God. Because all authority comes from God. Sometimes church folks think they can do anything. You can't just do anything. You got to pay your taxes. You got to stop at stop sign. You got to do what's right. Why? Because it's a law to protect you. All laws are protect you, not to harm you. All right. For rules or not, well, let me back up. Whosoever therefore resisted the power, resisted the authority, resisted the ordinance of God. So just give you a little plain, simple example. Whenever, class, you in the world system of government, whenever you disrespect any law of the land, there's a code of law that judges that have been set up to help govern right and wrong. But these laws have to be obeyed, and without punishment, they have to be obedient. What am I saying? The only way you can get escape punishment is through obedience. So if you obey the law, and do not resist the law, then there's no punishment because you're in right standing with the law. But whenever you disregard the law, then there is a penalty for disregarding laws. People don't like it, but it's just to teach us not to do it again. I remember, class, I thought it was so easy. See, I knew some people. And when you know certain things, you think you can use it for an scapegoat. Well, I used to get tickets before I really got born again, came to the knowledge of God. And I had people in the right places. I'll take the ticket, and I just give it to them, and they'll get it paid for me because you know the right people. But then I speed again. And then I get another ticket. And then I send it, and I know they're going to take care of me. But you never learn a lesson until you take the penalty of it, until you feel the penalty of the crime that you broke. And when I start having to come out of my pocket, I say, whoa, I'm not speeding anymore. Because it calls me every time I speak. See, the law is determined to defer you from sin, defer you from wrongdoing, and to put you in the place of safety. So whenever you escape the punishment, you're not escaping the punishment, but sometimes you're breaking the ordinance of God. God said, when are they going to learn the lesson that they have to submit even to natural government? Because they all stand for me. I'm remembering another time. Let me just share some experience, because I think you see better when I share natural things with spiritual things. Now, we got a red light here by the church. It's 44 and 22 crosses 44. Now this is 22. We leave out when I'm going home, and the red light is a four-way red light. And I'm at the red light by myself one night. I'm leaving the church late. And the light red, looked like the light just took forever. I said, when is this light going to turn? No calls coming from the west. No calls coming from the east. No calls coming from the north. And nobody behind me. But I'm just sitting at the red light. I said, this don't make any sense. No calls coming. But yet I got to stay here and be subject and obey this red light. I said, I'll just run this red light. Who wants to see it? And then I'm reminded that this red light don't only stand for the system, judicial system of government. It don't only stand for the state government, but there's a higher government, God's government. God was watching me. God said, you can't submit to this red light. You're not going to do too much submitting to me. If you can't submit to something you can't see, you can see, how are you going to submit to something you cannot see? That's me. And so that red light taught me, I never forgot that lesson, the red light submission lesson, because it taught me that, yeah, God even honored me submitting to this red light, because it's part of his system of government. That red light is meant to protect me. But it didn't seem like it was doing much protecting me by myself. But still, there's a law established, and I must fulfill the law. Now, he that resisted the ordinance, so if I would have ran through that red light, I may have gotten away with it. But Paul going to say something down here that's going to clear that up. I may have gotten away with it, and because nobody was there. I could have ran it, but nobody was there. Nobody would have seen me. I could have kept it going, but would it benefit me? No, just like me not paying the ticket, I wouldn't have learned the lesson. And then one time, it might become a habit of running red lights, and then before you know it, I get myself hurt or somebody else killed. You don't want to get into the habit of doing wrong. Let the law do what it's supposed to do. Now, we're just talking about the world system of government. That we ain't got to the spiritual government and the government in your home yet, but we're going to see this thing. So whoever resisted the ordinance of God, and they that resisted shall receive of themselves damnation. So you say, God not putting damnation upon us. When you resist, you receive damnation on your very own. You're doing it to yourself. If you're in trouble with the law, you did it to yourself. And sometimes we try to justify our wrongdoing, and that's not right. No, it's not right. You're never going to learn God's lesson. You're never going to learn the art of obedience. You see? And so we've got to learn that this system is set up by God. And if you break this law, you break the law of God also. I hope you hear me, Claire. I hope you hear me. Now, for rulers, that third verse says, rulers, those in authority, those that have been established as government leaders, That includes the judges, the police officers, those that have been set in the legislation to help govern this world system. Now I don't have anything to do with how the perverted part of it. I'm talking about the part that God established. But Satan get his hand in the law and he tried to pervert it. He tried to pass bill for abortion and all kind of other stuff. I'm not getting into that. God's going to deal with that part. But I'm talking about the established right. The established right law that you know is right. God's staying behind the right law. Not perverted law that is established by man. God, law that's established by God, then can stand up with the scriptures. You see? Now, excuse me. For rulers or those in authority are not a terror to good work. Now, you do what's right. If you do what's right, the law is not a terror to you. What do you mean, Reverend Gautreaux? I mean, if the speeding time says 55, and if I'm doing 55, I just take my time and go where I got to go, relax, be at peace, enjoy the ride, and no fear of rulers, no fear. I'm not looking in my rearview mirror every 5 seconds to see look at my little, we got radar now that detect when you got a police call around. I'm not living in fear of punishment, but I'm living in the comfort of the Holy Ghost. I like that. And so now, they're not a terror to good work. But what a terror to? They're a terror. They're a terror. But to the evil. Would thou then not be afraid of the power or the authority? Look what it says. Do that which is good, or do that which is right, and thou shalt have praise of the same. Then instead of criticizing the officers and those people that supposed to sent to protect us, we'll praise them. Now, you know, that's a lot of evil going on in the system. You know, they talk about police brutality and you know, and some of it, you got good and bad and everything. And, you know, and so you can't just put the stamp, all cops are evil. All cops try to hurt you. No, there's good and evil in everything. So I'm not going to try and defend the evil and destroy the good. But their job is to protect, withhold the law and protect. Whether there's perversion in it, God's going to have to deal with them on his own base, on their own basis. But by right, we're supposed to protect. I mean, they're supposed to protect us. And we're supposed to uphold to the law. Yeah, when you get stopped, hold your hands up to protect yourself because there's fear in everybody full of fear now. And so you got to just do what's right. Just comply. Do what's right because they're in fear of their life. They won't go home to their family just like you. And so a lot of time, I don't hold all of them at fault because it's a little crazy out there now. And it's hard trying to protect people when there's so much fear out there. Nobody knows who's who. And so it's another world we're living in. So you got to have the wisdom of the Holy Ghost. But you do that which is good, God going to protect you. But you do that which is foolish, you're on your own. More now, so than ever. All right, I'm not going to stay there too long because you get into a lot of controversial arguments there. And I'm just sticking with the word. Now, fourth verse says, for he is the minister of God to thee for good. But if thou do that which is evil, what am I about to say? I'm about to say this, Claire. When you're doing what's right, do you know God is always protecting you and covering you from all evil? Somewhere down the line, you see, we don't know everything. What do you mean you don't know everything? Everything that happened that seemed wrong and they put it on the internet, the Facebook, everything, the technology is captures things, but we don't know the whole story behind it. We don't always know all the facts. And we sometimes we take the wrong stance against it, and so we don't know what's all happening. But we don't know everything that goes on in people's lives. And so I'm not too quick to judge these things. I'm not too quick to throw people under the bus, but because you don't have all the facts. Only God knows. You don't know what people. You just don't know. So I leave certain things alone. I try not to meld into these silver things too much because you don't have all the facts. And so you catch things on camera, but you see the camera on another line, but you still don't see everything. Yeah. Yeah, that's a lot of wrong. That's a lot of evil. That's a lot of misabuse of authority. I'm not protecting that. But I think that there's more good done than evil. The way this technology is, when soon something happens, it can happen all the way on the other end of the United States, where we get it in seconds. But what I'm saying is, it makes it seem like it just didn't overpop, it just didn't took over everything. But no, what about all the good these people do? They don't record the good that people do. And so the thing gets unbalanced in one side, and you only see things through the wrong eyes, and Satan pervert that, and Satan multiply that, and Satan increased the wrong and unrighteousness. And then all of a sudden you think all police officers are wrong and evil, when it's only a small percentage of them that's not doing what's right. Amen. I'm not going to go too long on that, but I just have to. We're talking about silver government here. And you got to put right with right and wrong with wrong. But that don't stop you from obeying authority with a pure heart. Now, Paul is about to say something here that I'm trying to get to here. I'm trying to get to it. And the time, oh my God, the time goes so fast. I'm just trying to get it out. For he's a minister of God to thee for good. But if thou do that which is evil, be afraid, for he bears not the sword in vain. What are you talking about the sword? A good friend of mine was a police officer. And he got to the point where he got saved, got filled with the Holy Ghost. All of a sudden, he had trouble with his gun. He said, man, I don't want to have to shoot nobody, man. He said, you know, his heart began to turn. Let me show you the scripture here. I said, if it were written in today, it would say, for he beareth not the 357 or the Glock or the 9mm in vain. He saw it and he changed his understanding. He changed his mind. He said, I said, you here to protect. I said, sometimes they don't always hear, stop, hold up, don't do this. No, sometimes you got to have a little force behind it. And that's what these police officers, sometimes they got to use sometimes force, and much force that's required sometimes. Because these people, they're not afraid of anything anymore. They look at you and laugh. You pull out a gun, they laugh at you. Yeah, they'll laugh at you. Say, you're going to shoot me? Shoot me. My goodness, we don't know the world. Yeah, you know the world we live in today. But God protects us from all evil. Yep. But he's a minister of God to thee for good. But if thou do that which is evil, be not afraid, for he don't bear the sword or the gun for nothing in vain. For he's the minister of the St. James Police Department. No, didn't say that. For he's the minister of God. You see that? People don't, you got to see this. Yeah, he said, God used these people to protect law and bring law and order into a government. He's a revenger to do what? Execute wrath upon them that do it evil. My goodness. If they didn't have certain laws, certain people to protect people from evil, you'd be afraid to even go anywhere. But thank God for our police departments all over the world. And you need to pray for them that God protect the good ones and correct the evil one. There's evil in everything. But that you pray for them. Because there'd be a chaotic world if there wasn't someone to help establish law and right doing. You have masks. You couldn't even go to the store. You wouldn't be able to do anything. You think it's bad, but you wouldn't be able to do anything if there wasn't any law. Somebody to help enforce this law. Laws have to be enforced. Because laws are not enforced, they're going to be abused. Even as a Christian, you know it's hard to obey the law. But the Holy Spirit helps you to stop at that stop sign, help you to slow down when you're speeding. It helps you not to do that which is wrong. Yep. It's so many things we got to learn, church. All these things bring balance, class, to walk in this God kind of walk. You see it? God just not going to bless anything. God bless what is right. I still ain't got to the scripture yet. Yep, I'm almost there. It's right here in the fifth verse. Excuse me. Wherefore, you must needs be subject. Now, this is what I'm trying to get to. You must needs be subject. You see it? What subject mean? You must needs be submitted. Not only for wrath. What do you mean not only for wrath? Not only for the fear of the punishment. Yeah, you should have fear of the punishment. If anybody knew, Paul knew. If anybody was beaten unjustly, Paul knew. If anybody was forsaken unjustly, if anybody was set up and just had a lot of wrongdoing, Paul knew. He knew the injustice in the system. He was whipped by soldiers. He was whipped by the church members. He was so many stripes. He was abused. He was stoned. It unrighteous. If Paul knew, if anybody knew, Paul knew. He said, not only for wrath's sake, but he said another word here that I'm trying to get to, but also for conscience sake. Oh my goodness. Romans 9:1. Paul said, my conscience bade me witness in the Holy Ghost. Oh, when you get there, when you obey the law, not because of wrath's sake. Oh, when the Holy Ghost helped you to obey the law. Oh, when the Holy Ghost helped you to say to do what is right without even thinking about the punishment of the law. When the thought comes, you say, nope, that ain't right. I'm not going to do that. That ain't right. Why? Because I got a conscience. My conscience is saved. My conscience is born again. My conscience has the knowledge of God in it. My conscience has the word of God in it. And my conscience is filled with right doing. And then my conscience won't let me do anything. So back to the red light class. I'm about to close almost. Oh, you've been a good class. You listen real good. But we're just introducing the lesson because the lesson is so important. But back to the red light. In the red light episode, I didn't run the red light. Just come from church because my conscience wouldn't let me do it. Yep. I had enough understanding that the word of God is in my heart and that all authority belongs to God. And I didn't do it because there's a camera watching me or not. I did it because I got a camera on the inside of me. There's a conscience of the Holy One living on the inside of me would not let me do it. Well, class, you've been a good class. And look, at the end of my classes, I pose three questions at the end of every class. And these I haven't really got to my notes. But these questions are basic questions that may be used in the test and as a study guide. So I try to stay close to the lesson, and I try to stay close to what the book says. Sometimes my little science stories will help us understand. But I don't test on the science stories. I try to step with the scriptures and what Brother Nee says in the book concerning authority and giving us understanding of what really is being said so we can make good use of this lesson of authority. Well, you've been a good class. I'll see you next week, and you go in peace. Amen.